They were frightened.
I want masks.
What is this?
Listen, I'll grant your Felger is crazy.
Here we go.
Man, I got to lay off the peyote.
It was horrendous.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi!
Welcome into Felger and Mass. We're going to start with some NBA trade deadline stuff where basically all the players you've been calling untouchable franchise players were dealt today by the Cleveland Cavaliers if they blow it up. T-minus 56 minutes until the deadline. So we'll see if the Celtics do anything, but the Cavaliers have blown up their team, including flipping Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder in separate trades. You can tell me everything that's coming back and give me all the permutations, but just that alone.
I mean, again, just talk about a teardown in the middle of the season. Holy crap. Isaiah, Channing Frye, Jay Crowder, Iman Shumpert, Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade, and their first round pick, their own first round pick in 2018. Out the door. Seven people, if you count the pick. Six players in their first rounder. Gone in the middle of the season. They're ripping it apart.
Smart, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was a dumpster. You have nothing to lose.
Yeah,
you
I think
might
it's
as well rip it up and try a different mix.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I give them a lot of credit. I think there's a chance now still that the Cavs could be pretty good here in the second half of the season.
Certainly. It's a completely different team. They still have the best player on the planet, and who proved it again last night with his buzzer beater in the first overtime against Minnesota. But still, this is about two things to me. One, it's the most important thing for the Cavs, is they're, to me, I think, doing everything in their power to try to convince LeBron James to stay this offseason. He hasn't given them any kind of commitment, but hey, they're showing, hey, we're willing to do whatever it takes here, and they still have the Brooklyn pick, so that's important going forward. And two, they got rid of a piece that they realized very quickly is toxic and undermining everything we're trying to do here, from the coach to LeBron. Who is this guy? This little mouthy peanut who was a throw-in, in the deal for Kyrie Irving, and he's going to act like this? After every game, and he's calling out Kevin Love, who's been here, and who are you? Who the hell are you? Get out of here. Get out of here, mouthy little peanut. Goodbye.
It was a bad match.
Can we get some t-shirts made up, please?
It was yeah,
I should get little peanut?
The mouthy little peanut.
It was Mr. Peanut. It was a bad match from the start. He and LeBron were a bad match from the start. Like, it was the one thing you asked, you know, how are these two going to coexist when Isaiah's had the ball as much as he had, and now he's got to go play with LeBron? Kyrie Irving must be laughing his ass off right now. He must be looking at this, laughing his ass off at this whole thing, saying, I get out before all this crap happened. I was the smartest one of the group. And he's right. So what a mess.
How good does Danny Ainge look? But I don't want to hear it from you green teamers. You're the ones that don't get to say it. We're the ones who get to say it, because we looked at Isaiah, these guys more than me. I liked Isaiah, but certainly Jay Crowder, but basically that group. We looked at that group, we meaning the Felger and Mavs show, looked at that group and went, Bridges, or please, you know.
Like, calm down, everybody.
Guys.
You maxed it out.
Guys, you all chanted MVP, so you don't get to sit here and tell me what a genius Danny Ainge is, because you thought this player was the MVP. So you chanted MVP. You're the one who kept telling us Jay Crowder is the best contract in the NBA. Oh, my God. How many times do you have to hear that about Jay Crowder? And these guys go to Cleveland, and Cleveland can't stand the sight of him for more than three, four months, and they're shipped out of town. Wow.
It's unbelievable. Again, and Isaiah in Cleveland played in 15 games. They went 7-8. 7-8.
Oh, God.
What did they win last year? They won 53 games at the Celtics. Is that how many they won? But my point is, he went to a better team, and they went 7-8.
I won't crow about much, but this, I'm going to walk around like this the rest of the day. Maybe the rest of the year. Me and you, Jimmy, and Dan Lifshatz, too. We were right. We were right. You overrated him. And now, good. Go to L.A., where they're probably going to buy him out.
So what's the play for the Lakers?
I think that, to me, this helps take a little bit of the pressure off Alonzo Ball in the short term, right? I mean,
did they just want the expiring contract because they want the flexibility in the offseason?
Yeah, that's what they want. No question. I mean, it gives them cap flexibility. That's really the goal. I also think there is sort of a ripple effect or a tangential effect on Lonzo Ball a little bit, that maybe you get to ease him along a little bit more than you were doing otherwise. Because let's face it, at the beginning of the year, the kid wasn't ready to play. So, I mean, there's little things like that. But the big one is the cap flexibility. They get to hit free agency hard now. They get some of that. And, You know, they don't care about where they finish in the standings anyway, because if they finish really bad, the Celtics are going to get the pick, or Philly is, right? But, I mean, one way or the other, or Philly was going to get it either way. So, you know, they weren't going to get the pick. They don't care where they finish.
And talking about that cap flexibility, that's the ironic thing here, is the Cavs might have actually given a bigger window to the Lakers to sign LeBron this offseason.
So this is what, that was my question. That's, I heard someone say that the Lakers, with their trades today and the moves, have cleared the decks more than they were, which is all a way of me getting around, is this a good or bad day for the Celtics? I'm not sure it's a good one, because Cleveland probably got better. They didn't get any worse. So, you know, they didn't get any worse. They probably got better. L.A., which, I hate to break it to you folks, has won their last 3 and 7 of their last 10, and are now sitting in the 9th lottery position, soon to be the 10th. Because the New York Knicks are just right behind him, and the Knicks are now going to crater. So the Lakers are sitting in the 9-10 spot. The Brooklyn Nets, I hate to break it to you, are one loss out of the last record in the league. The Brooklyn Nets are currently in the 7th lottery position, but they have 37 losses. And right now, the worst team in the league is 38 losses. They're right there. So all this stuff we had to hear, Danny does it again. I like the Lakers pick. How do you like the Brooklyn pick? You shouldn't be, if you've been doing that, don't look at the bottom of the standings right now, because the Brooklyn pick is worse. The Brooklyn pick is a loss out of the last spot in the league, and the Lakers are down in the 9-10 range. It's closely bunched, but that's where it stands right there. So the Lakers clear some money. Maybe Isaiah helps them win games in the short term.
I think he does, yeah.
You know, because he's still got something to prove. He's still playing for a contract. Now he's got to prove it to two teams. So maybe the Lakers get better, you know, less likely to get that pick. Maybe the Cavs get better through all of this, so I don't know if it's a good day for you.
No, I don't think it is. Look, the Isaiah part of it's sort of a different story. And again, the Kyrie deal does get dressed up a little. Now, look, they may not get the pick out of it that they wanted at least this year, but they still got Kyrie Irving.
Well, no, but it's a win in that it shows you just what interchangeable, disposable, nothing pieces these guys were. And I mean, my first takeaway is why I had to listen to the Green Teamers the last 4 years about how valuable these guys were. I mean, it's just underscored how ridiculous these Celtics fans were with these players. Just insane. And how smart Danny is not to buy your crap. So that's my first takeaway. But then practically speaking, going forward, I don't know if the Celtics, it's a good day for them or not. Should the Celtics do anything? If someone comes to you with a first-round pick for Marcus Smart, should you do it?
Yeah, if it's a reasonably, you know, I say if it's not the bottom of the end of the first round.
So for the 15th pick?
I would do it.
Why?
I would.
Why?
Because I'm coming to the conclusion that they're not going to keep Smart anyway. Now, if you think you can
don't think he helps you win playoff games this year?
Yeah, maybe. But again, to what end?
So what's the 15th pick worth?
Oh, I think in this draft, the 15th pick might be worth something.
Nothing! Yeah.
No, I think you can get something.
We've been over this!
Yeah, I'm telling you. I think they're cutting ties with Smart. Now, if you want to tell me,
if you're at the top of the first round, what's the difference with these picks? We've talked about this forever. These things are useless.
Okay, but if you tell me that with Marcus Smart, that they can move him later in some sort of bigger deal, then fine, hold on to him. But I'm telling you, I don't think Smart and Rozier are going to end up coexisting here.
Why are you worried about next year? How about getting to the finals this year?
Yeah, I'm telling you, might be able to get there without Smart.
No, I don't believe that. You need him. You need his defense. You need all that other intangible stuff that he brings.
I'm not convinced of that.
Your chances of no one's convinced. What's convinced? Are their chances better with Marcus Smart on the roster?
Sure. Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
So that's worth the 15th pick?
But I think you might be able to get there anyway. That's what I'm telling you. I think, let's see what happens in Cleveland. I want to see how this shakes out. They just ripped apart their whole team. Like, I think you might be, you know, put it this way. I don't think the value of getting to the finals versus losing in the conference finals is enough to turn down a good deal for Marcus Smart.
Well, so define good deal.
Okay, so I would say middle of the first round or higher, I would do it. Middle of the first round or higher, I would do it.
That guy's going to help you win playoff games. He's going to help you win playoff games. He's going for a contract. He's in his last year. He should be motivated, especially after the nonsense of this year and this, you know, this hand injury and all of this. He should be a motivated fella.
Yeah, I've almost reached the end with Smart. This whole thing, punching the picture on the wall, ripping up his hand. And honestly, Rozier, get in there. Rozier's better. Now, he can't play defense the way that Smart does because he doesn't have the body. You know, he can't rotate positions, and he doesn't have the versatility that Smart does on D. But I'd take Rozier over Smart right now. I wouldn't.
I mean, Rozier might be quote unquote better?
He's still too inconsistent. He's not as good of a passer, as smart as everything else.
I see Smart win you games. Like, I watched the end of these games, and Smart makes a series of plays that wins you the game.
Look at the Houston game.
There's a million examples. I can't say that about Rozier. He's a better shot, better offensive player, and underrated defensively. I like him, too. What's not to like? Nice little player. Marcus Smart wins you games.
Yeah, Smart's not part of their future, though. Let's not delude ourselves. Again, now, if you think you can get a better deal for him later, fine, hold on to him. But in terms of the playoff run, I really don't care about that.
Oh, I think he's a factor for you. I think he helps get you to the finals this year. We're off and running. We will mix in Patriots, of course, throughout the day because we're not done talking about that situation. But it's NBA trade deadline day. You guys got a song for something like that? You got anything for it? Oh, deadline day. Oh, nothing.
No, we can sing it live if you'd like. No, we didn't have anything.
You got anything?
Oh, deadline day. Oh, deadline day. Isaiah, you're a loser.
T-minus 46 minutes until the NBA trade deadline. We got you covered on the IT trade. He's gone to the Lakers. How about them apples?
Winners and losers at trade deadline day. Isaiah's a loser.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz. We want to appeal to your ears.
Blood force drum! It'll run it right down their throat!
This is Felger and Maz. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is an absolute home run deal for the Los Angeles Lakers. They have got to be, as soon as they get off this trade call that they're having with the NBA right now, they're going to take a victory lap. They have been trying for months to clear cap space. And the Lakers just made an incredibly huge major move. They have now cleared the two max salary spots that they need for their dreams this summer of going after LeBron James. The Cavaliers have just cleared a path for the Lakers to go after Paul George and LeBron James this summer.
It was trending in the wrong direction with the Lakers anyway. But now it's even, I don't know. I mean, that's for the Lakers for the future. If you're worried about the Lakers' pick finishing 2 through 5, right now they're in the 9th spot. The Knicks are going to pass them after that Porzingis injury. And now they have Isaiah, the little fella, without all the drama in Cleveland trying to prove himself going for a con. I think the Lakers are going to finish out of the top 5. I don't know. I think that might seal it.
I mean, the first thing I thought about was Isaiah making them better. I mean, Isaiah, if he gets more time out there and gets the ball, they'll win some games.
So, and they were winning games to begin with. I don't know, maybe he poisons it out there like he poisoned it in Cleveland. Anyway, and then Cleveland, you know, tell me what's the best player they got coming back from all these different deals, and does it make him better?
So I don't know an awful lot about Jimmy, you might know better than Nance or Clarkson. I don't know the Lakers players there as much, but Hood used to have a pretty good game. I don't know what he's got
I
now.
I love Rodney Hood the most out of this, but you'll probably see Jordan Clarkson be the best player to come out of the four that they acquired.
Cleveland better or worse after all these trades?
They're better. They're better if you're playing NBA 2K, but they don't have a good coach there, so I'm not sure how it's all going to work.
No, I would say the way it was going there, they, you know, ripping it. So my question with Cleveland is, are they doing this for the short term or the long? Like, in other words, do they anticipate we're losing LeBron no matter what? So we got to get pieces back that we're going to be able to sort of build around and put together and go forward? Or are they building it for the short term, saying, no, we're going to make another run this spring. We're going to see if we can convince LeBron. That's the one thing I don't know. Which side is Cleveland coming at it from?
Okay, your reaction. Again, T-minus 36 minutes until the deadline. Pete and Delaware. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. Hey, as far as the Isaiah thing, well, how about a guy falling in 1 year? Unbelievable where he's at now. But Windhorse also was saying that Isaiah's agent already said he has to start. There's no he needs to start for the Lakers, and they're not on the same plan. So Isaiah already, and I think he's going to cause problems in L.A. And like Windhorse said, there's no market for the guy in the offseason, so he needs to play nice. But I actually think the Lakers are going to be worse with him. I think you're underestimating how good Clarkson and Nance are compared to Isaiah. And Fry's going to be bought out. So then there's going to be a lot of buyouts, so don't be surprised if Celtics wait until after the trade deadline and see who's going to get bought out.
Okay, so we'll see. You know, I mean, the thing with the Lakers is there's no incentive for them to tank because it's not their pick, so they're actually trying to win games, which works against you. The players are coming in, going out. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I still like Isaiah. I like the player last year. I like him now. I like him with the Lakers. I like him with something to prove. I like him. I ain't like you, where I chant MVP one day like an idiot and then say, see, Danny was right the other. Like, I've been somewhere in the middle there the whole way on the player.
I know you haven't watched Isaiah play a lot this year, but him going to the Lakers makes them worse because the guy can't play. And there's also this possibility that the Lakers buy him out.
So then it's a non-factor if they buy him out. But you're right. I haven't watched a ton of them. He's been terrible. You're saying he's a different guy?
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah. I mean, there's been talk about sending him to the G League in the last couple of weeks. He's a mess.
I mean, that was the Windhorse story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which means it came from you-know-who,
of course.
Right? It means LeBron saying, put this guy in the developmental league because he sucks.
Okay, so either way, we can agree to disagree, debate whether the Lakers are better or not in that pick. The point, what a fall from grace. Wow. Seriously.
Off the charts. So, like, what if he does get bought out? Like, what if Jimmy's right?
He goes from you chanting MVP, good call, Celtics fans, to being traded twice and now being bought out. Wow.
Yeah, scary. I mean, I don't know. Would you think about bringing him back here and putting him on the bench?
No.
Steve in the truck. No. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. I got a couple questions. One, what do you think about them going after Anthony Davis now, even though you got Greg Monroe kind of coming up with it, going to sign him?
When you say Anthony Davis, like in the next 30 minutes?
Yeah. Do you think that's even possible?
No.
No. Okay. So my other question is, do you think that the rumor that Isaiah Thomas was poisonous to the locker room when he was here in Boston holds any merit now?
I don't think he was poisonous here. I think here it all worked.
He was the man here.
Yeah, it worked here. It wasn't poisonous. I mean, he was a diva, but a lot of these NBA guys are divas, so he was your standard NBA superstar diva that made you better than you should have been. He worked here. Okay? It didn't work in Cleveland, and I really feel like defending IT a little bit. I mean, who's a worse guy and a worse influence? Isaiah Thomas or LeBron James?
LeBron.
Okay, so it's like...
No, some part of me feels bad for Isaiah.
I mean, Isaiah's an overachieving, hard-nosed, good pro. He's also a diva and has an attitude and thinks he's better than he is, and he has some problems. But at the end of the day, he made you better. He worked here. He wasn't a problem here. He's a problem in Cleveland because LeBron's a dink. That's why he's a problem in Cleveland.
I mean, that was a bad match from the start. Again,
not all LeBron. Have you seen or heard some of these quotes from this mouthy little peanut since he's been there?
Yeah, but I think
acting like it's his team. Who are you? You stink. And you were a throw-in in this deal. Coming in here, pushing his weight around, trying to undermine the coach. I know Ty Lue's kind of a hack. But some of the stuff he said in the last couple of weeks has been amazing to me. Because if I'm LeBron, I'm like, seriously, who are you?
Who do you blame for his inflated ego?
Oh, who do you think?
You.
Yeah, no kidding.
The
MVP.
Thank you.
MVP.
Thank you. But just think about it. You know, and we've left guys. Didn't Avery Bradley get traded too? Didn't he get traded out of Detroit?
Yeah, to the Clippers and the Blake deal.
Yeah, he's out, yeah.
Crowder, Isaiah, Bradley. Like, get Mike Gorman on here and says, I don't want to trade any of these guys.
Zeller got moved again too.
Yeah, Tyler Zeller.
Like, all these guys that all of you people said to me, you can't move these guys. This is the core. Don't break this up. Not only have they've been moved twice.
And Zizic, I think. No.
It's unbelievable.
Did Zizic get moved today, Jimmy? Did he go?
You Celtics fans.
So. Oh, bummer.
I can't trust your opinion on anything.
I'm telling you, Kyrie is laughing his ass off because he's looking at the whole thing in Cleveland going, see? You know what it's like to play with that a-hole? See?
Martin on the Cape. Go ahead, Martin.
Oh, yeah, they're all so valuable. The Brinks truck backed up and couldn't see the little guy in the rearview mirror, so
horrible.
He got squished.
That's not right.
Well, that's the truth. But I'm just happy finally something other than the joyless Patriots to talk about. I've seen enough of Bill's sourpuss for a while, that ogre. But come on, Danny, only 34 minutes left to dump Marcus Genius Smart on some unsuspecting team. There's no further need of his services, thanks to Terry Rozier. Here's a Marcus Smart intangible for you. He alone cost you 2 games on your last West Coast trip. He's as much a liability as an asset, so that makes him a wash. He's a utility baseball player who can't hit. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, babe, I disagree with you.
I'm with you, Martin. Not, I mean, not entirely. Like, there is value. You know, he and Rozier aren't identical because Smart can defend different positions.
They're not even close to identical.
But people treat him like
they're
that
guards.
Is my point. But Rozier is more of an offensive player with a totally different body, and Smart can defend multiple positions. But unless there is a deal down the road they can make for Smart, what does it matter if they make a run to the finals or not?
Don't you want to go to the finals?
Sure, yes.
So let's go to the finals.
Okay, but you're not winning it either way. So what? Okay, but use your logic then. So that if someone offered you something good for Smart, you wouldn't do it at all.
I don't consider the 15th pick good.
Okay, but if someone offered you something, what do you consider good?
Okay, so I don't want a draft pick unless it's a high pick. Unless it's a top 10 at least, but maybe even higher. I don't want a pick. Okay? I want a player that helps them this year and beyond get to the finals.
Okay, so if someone offered you the number 5 pick for Smart, you wouldn't take it?
Five, yes.
Okay, so then it's not about getting to the finals. It's about the return.
Well, at some point, the return becomes so good that... I thought we were in agreement that the 15th... And I just used the 15th pick because that's a debatable...
Well, it's right in the middle.
So I picked a good debatable pick. The 15th pick because... I thought we determined that the 15th pick is Kaká.
Yeah, I think this is a different kind of draft. I do. I know. You hear it every year.
Here we go. You, Cattles, and Jones, cut the basketball in half and put it on your head. You going to tell me some shooting guard from Gonzaga now?
I'm just telling you that I don't think...
Like, Jones going to talk my face off about some swing guy from Butler?
So I think the Celtics would tell you that they can have Rozier and Smart long-term and that they coexist. I think I look at it and say...
I take Smart over Rozier.
I take Rozier over Smart.
I agree they can't coexist. I don't want two of those guys. And you can't pay both of those guys. I take Smart over Rozier.
I take Rozier over Smart.
Well, there you go.
So, given that reality, I would move Smart.
The battle lines are drawn. Yeah, I've just seen the guy win you games. I've just seen him win you games. And then there's a... Okay, and for the future...
Rozier had a triple-double last week.
Jimmy will talk your face off about this. And ideally on your own time. But if you are to swing another trade, having Smart here with the expiring contract, even restricted, gives you flexibility, right, Jimmy? Where you can sign him, match that money, or et cetera, et cetera.
That is correct, Michael.
Okay, so there's a component there of keeping him, gives you flexibility in a trade.
Yes, and I said that if you want to trade him for something bigger later, yes, then that I allow for.
Got it.
But if you're asking me right now, pick one or the other. I'm keeping one or the other, Rozier or Smart, I'm keeping Rozier.
We continue with your thoughts after Murray's update, the latest on the NBA trade deadline, now 28 minutes away.
It would be a sad day for me if Avery Bradley was traded. I wouldn't give up Jay Crowder. I wouldn't give up Marcus Smart. Sullinger's, you know, one of my favorite kids on the team. I wouldn't give Isaiah up in a straight swap.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
I don't know that they're going to get a first-round pick for Marcus Smart. You're going to have to pay him in restricted free agency this summer. A lot of teams like him for reasons he's a winning player. He can win you a game or two in the playoffs in lots of different ways. He doesn't shoot the ball as well as people want the guards to be able to shoot it in this league. He certainly brings a lot of intangibles, and tangible things that are helpful to winning, and people have seen him do that in Boston. It's probably likely Smart stays, but, again, when he didn't take that extension last in the fall, Boston felt like they made a fair offer. You're going to be in, it's only natural that you're going to be in some trade talks because a team is saying, okay, we offered what we really want to pay for this player. He turned it down. So if we're going to keep him, we're going to end up paying more than we really want to pay. And so, of course, you're going to talk about some deals with him, and Boston has done that.
Well, Paul Pierce night just got a little easier, didn't it?
That's for sure.
Isaiah only loved Boston. I've said this numerous times because of the way you people, and I mean the Green Team, has treated him. Nowhere else in this league is a 5'9" guard who doesn't play defense going to get the love he got here. And Mike, if you watch him, the way he got to the basket for his hoops inside was his first step, and it is gone. And if he blames it on us for playing through the hip, then I'm sorry, he made a bad decision. But his first step, his whole move to the basket, doesn't exist anymore, and his outside shooting is terrible.
Well, then he's toast. Right? I mean, the outside shot's always been, what it is. But if he doesn't have this quickness, forget about it.
Oh, yeah, it's over. I mean, that's his whole game. At his size, that's it. But I also think he and LeBron were a bad fit. Honestly, the first time we saw him, I haven't watched a ton of him, but the first time I saw him, I thought he looked a little slow. He looked a little heavy for him. Like, so maybe there's part and parcel there that because of the hip, he couldn't work out as much or whatever, because he's not a guy that you would say has a weight problem or any kind of work ethic problem. Mm. But maybe that comes off. But he and LeBron are a horrible match. Horrible. Because they both need the ball all the time. Isaiah shoots off the dribble. He doesn't shoot off the pass. He shoots off the dribble. He drives to the basket. LeBron's sort of the same way. They need the ball all the time. They're a horrible match together.
And one guy is the greatest player to ever play in the game, arguably, and the other is a flash in the pan. So I wonder who should win that war.
LeBron.
Luke in Vermont. Hi, Luke.
Murray, I love you, but you should pump the brakes. A couple years ago, I called in to yell at you because you were saying you'd rather have Isaiah than Kyrie.
Luke, you bring it up every time, and I couldn't have been more wrong. I couldn't have been more wrong.
When did you say that?
I'm sure I got whipped up in the stupidity of all things Isaiah Thomas in the last couple of years before I realized, hey, this guy's overrated and kind of stinks.
Oh, well, let's grab that tape. That should be good. Thank you, Luke. I appreciate it.
Luke, do you have the date on this?
It was the season after the finals when Kyrie got hurt. At the trade deadline, the same day, the year after, it would have been the year Cleveland won it.
Yeah, right. No, you're right. You're right. Yeah, uh-huh. And I was wrong. And then light dawned on Marblehead, and I realized, wow, yeah. This guy's way overrated.
Luke's got it written down.
Yeah.
Good job, Luke. Appreciate it.
Trade deadline's important to me. It's like Christmas. Anyways, you guys are talking about that Kyrie Irving trade, including the Lakers pick. The Lakers pick was the Tatum for Fultz trade. Danny looks like a genius on both of them because the Brooklyn pick is now going to be probably anywhere from 5 to 10. So you gave up the 5 to 10 pick with throw-in pieces for Kyrie, home run, and you traded the number one spot and got Tatum, the best player in the draft, plus an additional pick. So whatever that pick is,
boy, are you twisting things around. It was just a couple weeks ago I was hearing that you're also going to get the second lottery pick this year because the Lakers are going to finish at the bottom of the league, and they're not. So Brooklyn's a loss out of having the number one overall pick. So look, I like the Kyrie trade too. I would trade the number one overall pick for Kyrie. But, you know, you feel like you're twisting yourself in a pretzel to make it look like Danny won the value chart thing when that doesn't look that way with these picks.
Well, you're doing the same thing in the other way, Felger.
I'm just giving you the standings. I'm saying the Brooklyn pick's a better pick than the Lakers right now, a much better one.
You said the Kyrie trade wasn't as good because the Lakers are going to win games. The Lakers pick has nothing to do with the Kyrie trade.
I'm telling you, no, but it does in that when you're running the balance sheet from the offseason, people always say, well, Danny did this on this side, and look what he did over here, and it nets out, you'll get a higher pick anyway. It turns out you probably won't.
I got you there. Yeah, it's probably going to get kicked to the next year. But I'm just saying, giving up Fultz for Tatum on its face,
great
right
trade,
pretty good.
Great trade.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah. but to me, that's draft analysis. That's talent. I mean,
yep.
Look, he killed it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, Danny's coming out ahead either way. But the point is, as a fan, would you rather have 2 through 5 in this draft, or do you want to wait another year? And I'd rather have it in this draft.
2 through 5 this draft, absolutely. But anybody who didn't think Kyrie was worlds better than Isaiah, and you guys know, I respected IT for a lot of the underdog, overachiever stuff, but I never thought he was great. I never thought he was an elite point guard or had, you know, the talent that somebody like Kyrie did. We got so fortunate to get Kyrie. It's just not even close.
Luke, it's true. You were realistic. You were a realistic Isaiah Thomas supporter. Realistic. And not a supporter. You were sort of on Stewart's side on Isaiah Thomas. So fine. Good for you. The rest of y'all, Channing MVP, I'm sorry.
I mean, it just goes to show you that Ainge looks at a player, and I'm talking about Isaiah now, and no matter how well the guy plays, Ainge sees the limits, and he understands what a guy's going to be able to do against certain kinds of competition. So Isaiah can pour 53 in the playoffs. Great. And because I admit, I get sucked in by that and say, geez, I'm starting to change my opinion of this guy. Ainge looks at him and says, well, it works in this setting, but it won't work in another one, and he'll cut bait. And that's what makes him good, I think, is he doesn't get blinded by that other stuff.
Okay, folks, T-minus 15 minutes until the NBA trade deadline. Are the Celtics going to do anything? Seems like not. Seems like they've already done it with Greg Monroe, the big guy who's going to join the team shortly. Are you okay with that? And if someone came to you for a first-round pick for Marcus Smart, would you do it? Should you have done it? Should the Celtics have done it? Where do you stand on that player? I think opinions are split on that guy, which makes him a good one to talk about.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
They've got defensive issues for sure. They're missing Kevin Love for sure. They're in trade talks for sure. But they really have a gap that's opened in the trust level between the ownership and LeBron James. And really, to me, that's the most important negotiation they can have this week, is whether LeBron is going to remain committed to this franchise past this year, because that's going to determine what they ultimately decide to do with their assets.
There's usually a slow trickle. So just because it's 3 o'clock doesn't mean that it's over. Jimmy, you got your finger on the breaking news button? Buddy boy, remember we fire that first and ask questions later.
This
Okay, that was just a test run.
This is a test and only a test.
Okay, and if it's a minor deal and you don't think it was worthy of the breaking news button, tough. You know how we roll here. Hit that button first, and then we'll see how it goes. Dave and Wellesley, what do you got, Dave?
Murray, that's a brutal take. I didn't know that. But just remember your two co-hosts at one point wanted to trade Brady for Luck. So don't forget that either.
Hey,
I think I'd still do that.
Oh, boo.
Go ahead.
Get out of here. Smart for first-round draft pick. If it's a lottery pick, yes. Otherwise, absolutely not, because they're more worthless than the dump I took this morning. Isaiah trade, the only thing that concerns me about that is, number one, Jordan Clarkson's pretty good. He's not a bad player from L.A. And then I feel as though cutting away Isaiah sort of brings LeBron back to center. You know what I mean? And I give regular season basketball, always I take it with a grain of salt. I always feel like playoff basketball is different. LeBron's the guy that switches it up in the playoffs. I feel like it still runs through him, and I feel like Isaiah being gone helps him.
So how do we feel about that? I mean, you can't take anything from the regular season? I mean, I know LeBron's walked through regular seasons the last 7 years and made the NBA Finals. Isn't this year different?
Yeah, completely different.
Well, look, the fact that they blew it up tells you it's different.
Thank you.
Like, the mere fact that they did that, they looked at it and said, this isn't working.
Can you believe the coach is still there?
I know, that's amazing. No, so maybe LeBron likes him. I mean, maybe that they've just determined that, you know, the issue is not the relationship between LeBron and the coach, it's the relationship between LeBron and his teammates. So look, Rose, you know, Rose damaged goods. Wade's done. Isaiah clearly never worked. They kept Love. My guess is probably because they couldn't move him because of the contract or anything else. But Jimmy, the guys that they got coming back, are they younger? Are the Cavs at least younger now? I mean, Hood's been around a little while, right? But it feels like
Hill's older.
Okay, but it feels like with Nance and Clark, how long's Clarkson been around? I mean, it feels like the Cavs at least put some younger. I think if you're a younger guy and you're going to play with LeBron, aren't you more apt to say, I better stay in my lane? You know, I'm not going to challenge LeBron because I don't have any right to challenge LeBron. It's part of Isaiah's problem. So I think the question to me is whether Cleveland's, you know, to me, my guess is Cleveland's trying to do both here. Insulate themselves if LeBron stays or goes.
Mike in the car, would you trade Marcus Smart in the next 10 minutes for a first round pick?
Oh, my gosh, 100%. I am sick and tired of waiting to watch Marcus Smart develop offensively. Yes, he's a great defender, but what's he been in the league now for 5 years, and he's just starting to develop a shot? He can't finish at the rim. He annoys me. Yes, get him out of here.
Okay, so he's never going to develop offensively. That's not the issue. I'm not sitting here telling you he's going to develop offensively. He wins you games. Every team needs a guy like that, and these players aren't comparable as players, but they fill that. They even need a junkyard dog, right? Draymond Green. And so he's that guy for you. I think if you lose Marcus Smart, and by the way, I don't think they're going to. I think he's, you know, going to make it in the next 5 minutes here. But I think you lose a little bit of your DNA about who you are.
And I think you're setting yourself up for a very short postseason. If you have to see Toronto here, who I think is a big hump you got to get over based on this game the other night, they had no defense on the perimeter. And granted, there was a big no-show all around, but you severely missed Marcus Smart in that game.
And I'm pretty consistent on this. You know who I felt the exact same way about? And I said the day he was traded?
Perk. Yeah.
I was a Perk guy for that very reason. Because, you know, while Garnett was the fake one, the fake tough guy on the video screen.
Yeah, Perkins is a bad dude.
Perkins was the real guy underneath there, clearing space and standing up to guys and giving you that toughness. And I think that's what Smart is. I think Smart fills that role.
Okay, but again, with Perkins, they had a legitimate shot at a title.
Right? Okay, but still, I mean,
So I'm just drawing the distinction there. That's all. You're entitled to believe what you believe. I'm just telling you that at the end of the day, if they trade Smart, does it cost them a championship?
No.
Okay, so...
I mean, they could trade anyone. It's not going to cost them. They're not winning the championship no matter what.
Okay, so that part is true, but there are also certain guys I look at and say, in the future, they can't win without him. Like, and I think that they can win without Smart in the future.
Eddie and Indy. Go ahead, Eddie and Indy.
Hey, guys, quickly. I'm still pissed at Bill for not playing Butler and trading Jimmy G for a second-round pick, so I hope we continue to talk about that and don't let Bill off the hook, guys. Two things on LeBron. What's interesting is LeBron is a tool. So is it LeBron or is it IT and Kyrie that were the issues in Cleveland? LeBron seems to be the common denominator every time. LeBron is almost as insufferable as Bill Belichick at this point. And then lastly, if the trades Cleveland made were done to ultimately keep LeBron long term, then they just open the salary cap room for the Lakers to get him, and he's probably going to leave for the Lakers anyway, which makes the trade stupid.
Right. That Lakers piece as it relates to LeBron is interesting. Did he just say that LeBron has almost gotten as insufferable as Belichick?
Yes.
Boy. Is that taking a little bit too far?
I mean, so this is, I found this part fascinating, and yes, we are going to do a lot still on the Patriots, so you don't have to worry about that. I can't remember Belichick's popularity ever being lower than it is right now.
He's taking a big hit.
Oh my gosh, has he taken a massive beating here in the last, week in particular?
Deserved?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. Absolutely it is.
He screwed that one up, but it's not to the point where he deserves to be compared to LeBron. Like, now let's not get crazy. He had a bad week, and maybe that I still hold the Garoppolo trade as the 1-2 as well. And then not that they traded Garoppolo, but they didn't.
The return.
Maximize the return. He didn't pick up the phone from Cleveland. You could be sitting there. We'll get into it later. But, yeah, of course the common denominator is LeBron. Of course it is.
It's always LeBron. I'm telling you, and that's the part I think that Kyrie is reveling in. Like, he's sitting there going, this is why I got out, because you're impossible. Because you're 100% impossible. It's always about you all the time, and I'm out.
Phil in Malden. Hi, Phil.
Yeah, Mike. Isaiah Thomas, remember the other night they lost by 40 points? And he threw everybody, his coach, LeBron, under the bus and this and that. The guy just came back only 5 games, and it's no wonder they traded him. The team is in total disarray with, a 5.9 guard thinks he's, Will Chamberlain.
Well, so here's the thing. Yeah, they were in disarray before he got there. So let's not, like, Murray and Stu carrying on like Isaiah, poisoned the waters there, or Isaiah.
He did.
It sunk them. They were a dumpster fire before he ever came back.
It was worse as soon as he got there, though, and he started mouthing off.
Won 19 out of 20 without Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah comes back, and Maz, what did they go?
7-8. I'm with Murray and Jimmy on this one. I think he made it worse.
Thank you.
I'm not saying it was great there before, but I feel like that they had sorted out, and then Isaiah came, and it got worse. It got worse fast. Like, he and LeBron, I just think, butted heads right from the start. It did not work.
I'm going to bump Bob and Easton, because he's calling us on the Celtics, and he never does that. So this should be good, or not. Go ahead, Bobby.
Dateline, January 6th, 2014, quote, Michael Felga. Am I crazy? Am I wrong to say that Andrew Luck is a Hall of Famer? I bring this up, and I'll tell you why.
Is that the right date? Did you really write that down?
You know what? Just don't worry about what I write down. It's a fact, okay? You fraud. You are the biggest fraud in sports media history. I'll tell you why. You sit there and you make fun of quote-unquote green teamers because we're yelling MVP about Isaiah Thomas. I'm going to ask you a question, okay? Try to redeem yourself a little bit here. Did he not have a great year last year for the Boston Celtics?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not okay for the Boston fans, Celtic fans, to yell MVP. And let me bring up a couple other players that you lamented about.
Can I ask you something first, though, quickly, Bob? What's more likely to happen? Andrew Luck being in the Hall of Fame or Isaiah Thomas winning an MVP?
Neither.
No. Pick one. What's more likely to happen? Andrew Luck being in the Hall of Fame or Isaiah Thomas winning an NBA MVP?
Luck.
Okay. That's all. So I was closer to the bone than you were.
All right. Hold on a second, though. Okay. You could sit there and you could take your bow on that one.
Thank you.
But let's bring up Tim Tebow, another one.
That was bad.
And then Rex Ryan in the Jets with Mark Sanchez. That for 2 years, you sat there and said, they're ahead of the Patriots. Here they come. I mean, I could go on and on about these players.
Okay, so those were bad. What am I hearing in my ear?
The countdown clock.
Was that intentional?
Was that like from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or something?
It was.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
So like, you can't do those things to me because I have no idea what anything is.
The listener knows.
Right, because you're not connected to the real world.
I have no idea about anything. So you can't just like say something or play and expect me to get it. I'm not going to get it.
The listener will.
It surprised me too. It took me a minute, but I did figure it out.
What the hell was that? Yes, Bob, I've been wrong plenty, and I've been called out on it, and so now I'm just calling out the green teamers. That's all. We can both take it, right? Some you win some, you lose some.
No, but Phil, the problem is you always lose. That's the thing. Every player that you the three that I brought up, you've lost significantly. You can't say that about the green teamers because Isaiah had a hell of a year here.
Okay, I can say that about the green teamers because, again, everyone that you told me was indispensable and has to stay here has been traded once, twice, or bought out or out of the league.
It'd be a sad day for me if Avery Bradley was traded. I wouldn't give up Jay Crowder.
Twice.
I wouldn't give up Marcus Smart. Sellinger's, one of my favorite kids on the team. I wouldn't give Isaiah up.
He's done twice. Yeah.
Is Sellinger even in the league
anymore? I was going to say, Sellinger's out of the only one who's still here is Smart.
Ate himself out.
So I always get them mixed up. Bob and Easton is the Patriots fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't like you.
No.
He's right about the Tebow thing, though.
Oh, no question.
That was a big mistake.
That was a miss. That was a miss.
I never have those. I'm usually right about everything.
Win some, you lose some. And you take your beating. That's all. So we've passed the deadline.
That is correct.
That's
yes.
what that music in my ear meant.
Moderate. That's I thought it was because you...
This is breaking sports news. Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, so something did happen.
Boston has made no deals.
Something could trickle in, though, Jimmy. It's only a minute after.
Or has it been officially reported that they will make no trades?
I'm saying they're making no deals.
Okay, so that's according to Jimmy Stewart, who's usually pretty good about this stuff.
I thought, see, when Jimmy played the clock ticking down, I thought he was saying that Bob Anisa was on the phone too long and that he wanted you to dump him.
This is why everything has to be explained to us, me mostly.
Yeah, you.
Because I don't get anything. So anyway, the deadline has come and gone. We'll see if there's a slow trickle of deals, but to this point, the Celts have done nothing. Marcus Smart ain't going anywhere. They've blown it up in Cleveland again. Isaiah Thomas traded to the Lakers. Jay Crowder traded in another deal for the Cavs. So we'll come back and talk about it after we clear through the refuse. 90 seconds, no commercials, just the very latest on the trade deadline here from Murray.
Felger and Mav. Felger